We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 9 of This Is Football. This episode is sponsored by our good friends in Tesco's Express. Trev, how are you?
Very well. How are you?
Not bad. We've now Scott tonight. He's off trying to play football or pretending to play
Sitting
football.
Sitting on the bench again. Yeah.
Warming up the bench, yeah. Mm. So now Scott tonight. and we play on without him. Come here, we have a lovely interview coming up in the second half. Conor Kenna, smashing interviews. We'll leave that to the second half. But before that, we'll get into last week's fixtures.
Last week's results, maybe.
Or even last week's results would even do. Yeah,
we haven't done this in a while. We're kind of trying to get a bit of a plan back in place. So let's go through last week and let's start if we mean to go on. Will you start with Saturday?
Yeah, we've had some big interviews. So we've been all over the place. We're back to basics this week. We trunced Scott out, so we're back to basics. Back to me and you. The dream team, the A team. Last week's fix. Last week's results, should I say. Under 11F drew at home to Liffey Bank. Under 9A won at home to Balbriggan. Under 11A won at home to Maynooth. Under 11C won away to Kilmore. Under 8C won at home versus East Meath. Our under 13 Saturday lost 4-1 at home to Glebe. Our under 12 C drew 3-3 at home versus Willows. Our under 12 Premier drew 2-2 at home to Rathdowell. That's a good result, that one.
Yeah.
That's a very strong Rathdowell team. I think they're in the cup final. They're in the semi-regional final. I'd say they've a good chance of getting into that final as well. And a good chance of winning the league. So that's a good result for Dunboyne. 2-2 versus Rathdowell. Anyway, our under-12s A drew 1 all away to Drogheda. Our under-8B won away to Stillmullen. Our under-9C lost away to Laytown. And our under-14B had a great win 2-1 at home versus Lusk. On to Saturday, Trev. Or Sunday.
What age can we give out the actual result?
12's up.
Okay, so Sunday.
How long are you doing this podcast?
Well, we haven't done this in a while.
All right.
Under 11. Well, at least I'm calling results. You're calling fixtures.
Ah, well.
Under 11C won away to Malahide. Under 11A won at home to Rathdowell. Under 13D MGL won a home game versus Marina, which is brilliant. 1-0. Our own lads under 13P drew 1-1 with Balbriggan at home. We'll talk about that in a second. Under 10 girls lost away to River Valley, very narrow defeat there. Under 11D won at home to Willows. Under 15P lost 6-0 at home to Rathdowell.
Ouch, they were on after us. Actually seen an open top bus going through Rathdowell after that game on my way home.
Yeah.
I think they were parading.
I did see the first goal, it was a cracker top corner. I didn't see the rest, but unfortunately, it wasn't to be.
Well, that's it. That league only has four teams in that league, so they probably have to play each other another 16 times.
Okay,
so
yeah, get to
avenge that one.
Yeah,
that's
probably
a big
next
win
week. Under 13A, so this is MGL, won 5-1 at home to Ballarat. Then there's a couple of under 10 games. Under 10B lost against St. Eustace. Under 11C won away to Rathdowell. Sorry, at home to Rathdowell. That was a big win.
It's under 10s.
Yeah, see, we're not very good. Under 10, D won away to Ballscadden. Holy moly. Right.
They won away even though they were home. We know that.
They went home afterwards. The seniors, they won 1-0 away to Drogheda. We'll come back to the seniors. That's a great result. We'll come back to them in a second. Under 17, B won 3-0 at home versus Lusk. And I think under 18, A won 3-1 at home versus Ballarat. And under 19s were beaten 7-2 away to Rathcoole. I think that's all the results from last weekend.
If we missed anyone, we do apologise.
Yeah, that's just what's come up in the managers group. So let's just go back to two things there. Our own lads, well, we've had two games. We've had a game on Sunday against Balbriggan, 1-1. And then we had a game on Tuesday against Cluny at home. So let's start with the Balbriggan game. So Balbriggan, be strong. there is only five teams in our league, so it's kind of awkward. But it's our first time playing them in a long, long time, even though there's only five in the league. How do you think it went?
Yeah, it went very well. We needed to bounce back. We had two losses going into that game. We were beaten. We were beaten actually at home by Skerries a couple of weeks ago in that stormy weather, the wind. Mm. I think we were 3-0 down or something at half time, and we just couldn't turn that around. Then we, typical as we're giving out about the leagues, we got Skerries away then the following week, and we played very well and somehow lost that 2-0, which nearly kills you in this league when there's only five teams in it. You lose two, especially your first two.
Yeah,
it was a killer. So we needed to bounce back against Balbriggan, who'd be one of the favourites to go and win that league. And yeah, we done very well. Typical of our luck, we went 1-0 down through an OG. Kids trying to play the right way. Justin Forstner, our fullback, got too much. He was actually a centre back. Got too much on it, playing it back to the keeper. And you're thinking, there's our luck. But we turned it around. We got back into the game. We got a great goal. And Balbriggan were holding on at the end.
Very much so, yeah.
They were actually playing for a draw in the end. So very impressed with that performance, which then brought us into Tuesday to a Clonee side who were going well. But I just had a feeling, Trev, I think we spoke about somebody was going to get it. We were going to put on a show. We were going to hit the ground running, and we really did against that Clonee. Unfortunately for Clonee, we hit the ground running, and they got us on the day they didn't want to get us. And I think it was double figures we hit them by. Stuck it up as 9. I think it could have been 10 or 11. It could have been 16 or 17. But to be fair, I think no matter who we were playing on last Tuesday, we would have hit them and hit them heavily. We were just excellent.
I think if we had to play Balbriggan on Tuesday the way we played, we would have been similar score as well. I firmly believe it. You look at the game, we've just played the right ways. Yeah, they caught us. Well, no, it was only 2-1 at half time, but it was never a 2-1 game at half time. And I think really the second half they stood up and put the chances away. They had a lot of we had a lot. Their keeper made a fair few saves as well. So you like what you're saying, it could have been a lot more. But we have a we're not going through the fixtures for this weekend, but
they'll be online,
but we're mentioning it, and it is our team. We have a big semi-final in the SFAI Regional Cup against Park Villa. Now, Park Villa are the team that beat us in the final last year. So, revenge is definitely on the cards. So, we're playing at home at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
Against, Park Villa, as I say, on the main pitch. So, we're just asking, look, there will be a lot of games going on, but it is the first game up, if you're passing, or if you're going down to a game at 11, you might throw your head in for, if not all the games, the second half. Encourage the lads, and it'd be great to get two finals in a year, but they're not going to be easy to beat, so all support would be appreciated. With the lads, with the seniors, I was speaking to Mark McGee and one or two of the players. They had a great win last weekend against a Drogheda team who have notoriously been difficult for them. They were always in and around them in the league. But they got the win. They got the win, and I believe they deserved it. So they've had a couple of away games. I think that in the last seven games, they've played away five and they've won them all. They're flying.
Wow.
They have now another away game, which is our last away game of the season, against Tech on Sunday morning. Tech would be certainly a team that they should be beating based on their performances and also based on where Tech are in the league, which are never guaranteed. So hopefully they get the win on Sunday. They then have two home games. I believe it's next Wednesday. I'll have to check this out, but we'll be doing a podcast next week. Wednesday. And the following Sunday, both games are at home against St. Paul's MP and St. Paul's Artane. St. Paul's, I believe, are top of the league, and MP are third. So it's a big if, but they're in the position. If they win on Sunday and win their two home games, I think they guarantee promotion, which would be a great turnaround.
Massive, yeah. Massive. Well done, the lads, yeah. That's a great turnaround.
So I think I've been on to Jay, and I've been on to Mark, and we're going to have them on the podcast, but Mark's idea is we're not going to jinx anything. We've three games left, and let's talk about the league. Let's review the season rather than come on now, and I can think that's probably fair. You know, we don't want to jinx anything, so best of luck to them, to Mark, Jay, and all the lads. And again, they're playing on Sunday away, but I think they're playing next Wednesday at home, probably 6:30 kickoff. So, but what I would say is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, even Friday, just go up to the pitches. There's going to be midweek games on. It could be any age, but there definitely will be games. The weather's to be picking up next week, so get up and get the kids with you and get them out, get a few brownie points because they're out of the house, and watch a few games. That's what I'll be doing anyway.
Yeah, listen, all the leagues are so far behind, there's going to be games. I know it's a bank holiday Monday coming up, probably not on Monday, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, could be even Friday. There will be probably 2 or 3 games going on at a time, which is great. So yeah, if you're looking for something to do, go out and support the boys and girls.
Yeah.
The second team, Trev, was up there watching them actually last night. How are they doing?
Yeah, that's not as successful as the first team, but they're fighting to stay in the league. But that's fine. You know, every there's all sorts happening in each league and each different
someone
age.
Someone has to finish top. Someone has to finish bottom.
Yeah. No, look, they're trying to avoid that bottom place. They're certainly, it's in their hands to stay in the league, I believe, talking to Scott. So we were up there on Tuesday. They played, we had a game. They were playing Ballyfermot. I don't know where Ballyfermot are in the league, but I know they're not near the bottom. I think they're quite comfortable top half, and they had a very good comprehensive 4-0 win against a strong Ballyfermot team, which was brilliant. And then they were, so like what you're saying with all the extra games that they have to go through, they were playing last night against Newbridge. I had to leave before the start of the game, but you told me after 10 seconds they were 1-0 down.
Probably 6.
6 seconds they were down. So not the best of starts, but they turned it around.
Yeah, they were flying until Scott came on.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Like, they were really playing some nice football. And in fairness, they got a comfortable lead before they brought Scott on.
Yeah. Well, that's what you'd have to do.
To be fairness. But he looked well on the bench, all kid, though.
He did. Well, he's corrected it very well. Like, he's had enough practice. He's the Messi of the bench warmers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So, yeah. He changed the game when he came on, I think, Newbridge.
Scored a few.
Scott,
this is happening because you hurt your wrist or something, you can't talk today again, so that's why you're not on this one. So you know, it'll teach you a lesson to be available for next week. But now, all joking aside, hopefully
I think it finished 5-3.
Yeah,
5-3. They went 1-0 down, and I think they were 3-2 up at half time. Then it went 4-2, and then I had to leave at 4-2.
Yeah,
I was just waiting for Scott to come on.
Yeah.
And
you held up your banner and have your shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, "Which one do you want? I've loads.
I've never seen someone warm enough for 55 minutes."
Yeah, well, yeah, you've seen it now. No, look, he was well loose when he came on because he was running up and down from the first minute anyway. So he got on the 70th or something. Best of luck, Scott, and the second. Now, all joking aside, but hopefully, I don't know what games they have coming up, but hopefully they continue that little kind of winning run that they're on, and they stay safe. Oh, look, before we go on to the interview, I want to bring up one person, and I didn't say this to you, this is going to backfire on me. It's going to backfire, and I'll tell you why it's going to backfire. So I'm really kind of landing myself on something here.
Yeah, a bit nervous.
We're obviously near the end of the season. Ange Postecoglou, the saviour of Spurs, who's, I think he's maybe top half. You know,
they've gone down to 5th or 6th.
Now, the reason why I'm saying it back for, because they're playing Liverpool at Anfield on
Sunday.
They're going to spank us 3-0. But I seen a few minutes of the game last night. I don't know what's going on. Like, you obviously, he's a good coach and all that kind of stuff, but he was losing his mind on the sideline there last night. What do you think is happening there? Do you just think he's kind of leveled out now as to where that team is and he needs investment? Is that his level? There's a big gap between Scotland and England. You know, what do you think?
No, I think he's really going to push on after next season. You're dead right, he needs investment. I think he flew onto the scene, burst onto the scene better than anybody had thought. Then he went through that injury crisis, which really, really damaged him. We're coming to the business end of the season. Yeah, you need to be picking up points against everybody, especially losing the derby. And I know he lost his will last night on the sideline. But like, it's his first time in the English league. If he was sitting third, fourth, fifth, bottom from the league, the papers be all over him going, told you he's not good enough. He brings great character to the break style of play to the Premiership. I just think give him time. It's the same as Scotland. When he turned up for Celtic, he was gone by Christmas. That was the big thing. Mm. He won't last the Christmas. He's gone by Christmas. And he's just style of play, just turned it around. And his man management, if you actually look into him, he stays away from the players a lot. He'll just come in at the right times, into the dressing room at the right times, lets the leaders lead.
Mm.
No, I wouldn't be concerned at all.
I kind of like him. I didn't know him really at all. And now you see a bit of him in this year. I do like him, but I think, you know, we are saying when he came into Scotland and he was in the Celtic and he was meant to be gone by Christmas, but like he's coming into like, you know, looking at the league, right? He's, if you put it to the English league, he's like he's gone into Man City up in Scotland, because you know they're one of the best teams.
Well, they weren't really, because we were at the losing 10 in a row. He was out there coming into an aging team where we lost a lot of players. Like it was a 10 player turnaround he had.
Mm.
Plus we were at the losing the league. It could have easily went belly up.
Sometimes that goes in your favour though. If you've got 10 players, not 10 players, but what I'm saying is out of them 10, there's probably 5 or 6 of them. Like I'm looking at,
everyone's, you don't get your signings right, Trevor, you're in big trouble.
No, of course.
Look at United.
Of course, yeah.
Ferguson went.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, on United, you look at, I was watching the, and it was a brilliant
game. What's
going
to happen with Liverpool when Klopp goes?
Yeah, well, we won't have a lot of discussion because everyone's sick of me listening to it, but we will talk about all different. Look, United, I think, are going to make a change as well in the summer. I don't think there's managers out there. Like, you know, you look at the fella that's looking at Liverpool, but talking about going back to United, I watched the PSG and Dortmund game the other night, and I thought, because we were playing a match on the night of the Real Madrid game, I thought, I'll watch the PSG and Dortmund game, it won't be great. And I thought it was a brilliant game. It was a 1-0, I could be wrong, I think it was 1-0 to Dortmund. But Jadon Sancho was an absolute superstar. Oh, he was just outstanding. And not even to the point of, it was a case that he was by far the best player on the pitch. And obviously that pitch includes a lot of good players, including Mbappe. You look at Mbappe and he's waiting for stuff to happen. I know Sancho plays kind of slightly deeper, so he's more involved, but Mbappe wasn't involved in that game. Now, in fairness, he hit the post, but that's what he'll do. But I think Sancho, it'd be very interesting to see what happens to him, because if he's probably waiting now to see if United make a move on a manager, which I think most United fans want and expect. And I think he's expecting it too. I can't see him staying there next year. I'd say Sancho would be, if he comes back to a manager that believes in him, he's going to be, I know the old saying, he's like a new signing, but he actually is. But he was absolute quality. It's great to see, because he's had a bit of a tough time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Mentally and all that kind of stuff, but he looked amazing. So yeah, I just wanted to mention that.
But Stephen, going back to the Ange Postecoglou one, remember when he came in, Nick, you lost Harry Kane, the biggest ever player.
Mm.
And you know, so it was all against him.
Mm.
They were now, what, are they fourth, fifth in the league?
No, I think they were.
All the, when you look at it at a whole, right, he's lost Kane. He lost five, six, seven players through injury for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, he could have been gone by Christmas.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the league.
And now he's fighting for Europe.
Yeah, well, like, I'm looking at the league there. I didn't realise they're fifth. They're behind Villa, 7 points behind Villa, who are in fourth, right? So they're not going to catch them for the Champions League. But looking at it, they're in the Europa League spot, and United are behind them they're 6 points behind. United are 6 points behind Spurs. That would be a success, actually. You know, if they could get Europa League football, considering what's going on. I just think he's had a bad few results. But Spurs, again, to watch Spurs this year, I've said it earlier, like, he really has made a difference. So,
he will on Sunday when they spank Liverpool.
He probably will. But like, I mean, Liverpool have nothing to play for now. Like they can't win the league. They've guaranteed now, with the results, that the way they've gone, they've guaranteed Champions League football. That can go for you or against you. I know in Klopp's press conference, he was saying, well, there's no pressures on us now, so hopefully we can play the football that we are used to playing. But easily they could, you know, put their flip flops on and off to go to their holiday. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. Arsenal, I really hope Arsenal kind of do it now at this stage, but it's going to be a brilliant finish for those
two.
Yeah,
it's going to go back. It looks like it's going to go to the wire. Hopefully it goes down to the last game of the season.
Well, you look, Arsenal have Bournemouth at home on Saturday morning at 12:30. Bournemouth are a dangerous team now, more so at home, but Bournemouth at any stage, your man has playing really good football. And you've got Man City are at home to Wolves at 5:30 on Saturday. Now, you would expect both of them two teams to be swept aside with the form that they're in, but you just don't know. I think there's a twist still somewhere between them two. I don't know who against or what. Now, obviously,
both of them could slip up.
Yeah.
And then, if you're looking at the bottom half of the table, you can nearly say, right, Sheffield United are gone.
Yeah. Well, I think officially, you know, if they don't get a win in their next game, which they more than likely won't, that's official, isn't it? They're gone.
Yeah, well,
they're playing Forest. So if Forest beat them on Saturday, that's it. That's officially them gone. And actually, that might even save Forest. So it actually probably will save Forest.
That's a 6-pointer,
that's
that one, isn't it?
That's a big one, like, you know.
Well, I mightn't say, because Luton and Burnley, like, between, you're going up to Everton in 15th, you know, yeah, Everton look like they're going to be safe.
Well, Luton are playing Everton on Friday night.
Well, Burnley are 24 points and Everton are on 36 points. So,
until the next deduction.
Yes, this is it. Then you have Luton. There's just a little bit, I think, if everybody wants Luton to survive.
Yeah, doesn't necessarily.
They were wrote off at the start.
Yeah.
And then they come into the league, they lost the first 3 or 4 games, if memory's correct.
Yeah, but you look at Burnley. Burnley are, I know they're down there as well, like a point behind Luton, but Burnley are starting to show a bit of form. That'll be as interesting. Like, you know, obviously Sheffield United are gone. I firmly believe the bottom three are Sheffield United, Burnley and Luton at the minute. I think that's the way it'll end.
Do you know what's a team as well? What's going on with Brighton?
Mm.
Like, they've reached the heights really far. They're falling from grace now. And what's going on with Evan Ferguson? He can't get a run at all.
Well, he's injured. He had an injury. He's out for the rest of the season. But,
oh, is he? I didn't
but
know
even
that.
Before that. Mm. Nah, that's only in the last couple of weeks. Even before that, he hasn't started. I couldn't tell you the last time he started.
But even when he was coming off the bench, Trev, he was scoring and then he wouldn't start the next one.
Yeah.
Are they trying to look after him too much?
I think he's going to Liverpool.
Oh, would that be a blatant step backwards?
Yeah, well, exactly. But he needs to get on the bench, you know, onto the pitch, not sitting on the bench. Scott knows all about that.
Scott,
I'm sure you believe. Yeah, yeah.
Take Scott's place.
No, nobody's taking that bench off Scott. So that's kind of it. Do you want
to? Yeah, no, nothing else. I suppose the Ireland job, the merry-go-round is going at, like.
So he's John O'Shea now has been confirmed as you can come back. Ah, we're only joking with you.
We're only messing,
another two games.
We'll give you another two and see how you get on, because nobody else wants it.
Yeah.
I think as at this stage now, they're just going to wait until the Euros is over, see who finishes bottom of the Euros and go after that manager.
I think that should have been the plan all along.
Yeah.
Aim high, lads. Yeah.
So I don't know. So that merry-go-round consists, still going on. We won't know now until September, whatever the case may be.
No.
So we'll come back to that one.
And who are they playing in September? England.
England, yeah.
At the
Aviva. That's right, the Aviva.
So it's just is an easy game for the starter, whoever's going to be there.
Maybe John O'Shea.
At this rate, who could begrudge him? I don't think any Irish fan wouldn't. Like, who else is there out there, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway,
Brian Kerr's not gone in this time.
No. No, I seen Brian Kerr at this day last week at the Shelburne and Pats game. He wearing a lovely pink cap. I asked him, was he going to be going as a manager? He said, no.
That's
he's not aiming Dunphy. He's not aiming Dunphy.
I don't know what you're trying to attempt there.
No, I'm not. There we go, that's better.
No, that's
no, sorry, okay, we've got to leave it
right. Right, so there we are, wrapped up for part one, and coming up in part two is a great interview with Conor Kenna.
Hi everyone, this is Tony Cotty and I listen to This Is Football.
So, Conor, how are you, pal?
All good, lads. Yeah, keeping well on yourselves.
All good. Delighted to have you on the podcast. So, thanks very much for jumping on and giving us your time.
No problem at all.
Conor, we'll get straight into it, right? No messing about here. Give us let's bring it back to the start, what we normally do with all our guests. Where did you start playing football?
So start grassroots would have been Kilimana, the local club. And then I would have went to Cherry Orchard and I spent a year at Lourdes Celtic before I headed over the waters there to Coventry City. So I've done 3 years in Coventry as well and then came back to the League of Ireland from there.
And come here, Conor, how does that come about? going? How did you get the nod for the Coventry? Did the scouts come over and watch you, or how did you even get the nod, the phone call?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different than it is nowadays. Obviously, the young lads can't go away, and they're into the League of Ireland academies and stuff like that. But back then, I said all the English scouts and stuff used to be over in Ireland, watching the DSL games and stuff like that. So it would have came from there. There was a local scout for Coventry, and he liked a few of us. Actually, it was with Stephen Royce and stuff like that that we went away as well. So it's about five or six of us that went away at that year, and just felt like a home from home over there, so we decided to go. So,
Magic, what age was that, Connor?
It would have been under 15s, so only a baby.
Only a baby, which lead me into your next question. And we, how did you find the transition going over? Was it hard? Were you homesick? Did you settle in?
Yeah, to be honest, I said a lot of us, there was five or six Irish that went together, so that helped, Stephen Quigley and stuff like that as well. So that helped, but no, it wasn't ideal. I said, you're leaving all your friends, your family, your daily routines all behind to basically, like as my mum used to say, just to hand them over to someone they didn't even know in England to mind their baby. So yeah, it was a big step. Would I like my own young lad to do it now at the moment? I'd say no. I think the way we have it now in the League of Ireland is they hold on for a little bit longer, and the standard is a little bit better for them, to facilities, should we say, that a little bit better for them to stay here longer. But I gave it a go, it didn't work out, and I wouldn't change things now.
Yeah, like 15 is a kid, really, isn't it? Like, it's a massive thing for a child to go over, away from home, over to the UK, leaving their mammy behind. Like, it sounds frightening and daunting.
Yeah, like, as I said, lucky we were with a group of us that we were strong together, to be fair. As I said, there was lads that used to cry themselves to sleep at times. They'll tell you that themselves. There's no shame in that. Like, but so they missed out on a lot of things, like weddings, like my own family, my sister's wedding. I had to fly back that day because the U Cup came the next morning. So you miss out a lot of stuff like you don't think about now. Just growing up, the daily stuff with your mates, going to discos, whatever it is, but just, as I said, you feel you're not part of that anymore. Like, so as I said, it's a big step for our kids going over.
Yeah, massive. Scott, what are you going to do when you're 15?
You give it a shot. I'm 15. I'm not that young, Paul.
when you grow up.
Yeah, when I grow up. Eventually, still kid at heart. No, Connor, look, pleasure to have you on. I'm a big Bowls man myself now, so I've followed the league throughout the years. I've been gone since only a kid, so I do recognise you. I know you're a stalwart in the League of Ireland for, 12, 13 years. But I do actually have a slight bit of a story I'm bound to pick with you. Now, I could be wrong here, and I could look like a fool, but...
Where are we going with this?
No, it's nothing bad at all. Did you play in, it was a great event, it was for Sean Cox in Ratote, the sixes for Sean, that was a good few years ago?
The tournament, was it around Christmas time?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, with Keith Fatty and stuff, we had a team, was it? That the one you're talking about?
Because I was, obviously, me and my mates, we put a team together, I'm from Dunboyne. And you know, we thought we'd have a good chance because we were all like DDSL major premier players. And first game of the tournament, you were playing for Sunnis Batchrooms, was it at the time?
Yeah. So he would have asked us to put a team in for at the time. So I just rang a few of the lads to see if they were available for a kickabout. And Keith Fatty was one of the lads as well. So I think the lads were shocked when he turned up and they were playing against Keith Fatty and stuff. So. It was a great day, actually, a great event, and as I said, they raised good awareness for it as well.
I know we was told to take it easy.
I played that as well, Scott.
Did you, Paul? Did you really?
Yeah, I actually played in that as well.
No, yeah. I'll tell you how
I played, how it ended up.
It was pretty good. We'd lads that would have played five aside and stuff like that. So as I said, there was Sean Harden used to play with UCD as well in Limerick, and I think I had my nephew who's playing now at the moment. He's down in Wexford. He was there. He was only, I think he was 16 or 17. He came out with us as well. So we had a good standard player with us.
Oh, we're all like, he's a slight favourites.
we were the first team Connor played, and it just say it didn't go really well for us at all. But I think yous were told to take it a bit easy after that game.
Yeah, we just done a little bit of rotation. After the first game, the body wasn't great, and the knees weren't great on the Astro out there as well.
We'll go with that. We'll take that one. We'll take that. We took you all the way then. We'll take that one.
Okay, Conor, so you come back from off that Rathdown tournament. That wasn't a pleasure for me. You come back from Coventry then. Who did you go to then?
Yeah, so it would have been around the time that the ITV, the money fell out over in England, the TV. So I came back. It was, first of all, I came back and a friend of the family, I didn't really want to play football when I came back. It was just disheartened with football and everything that went with it. And my parents have a place in Spain. So they were away for the summer at the time. And my parents' friend, he came up to me, knocked up to me one morning and said, "Conor, come on, there's a game of football for you." I was like, to be honest, Philip, I don't want to go and play football. I don't want anything to do with football. And he was like, "No, you're getting out." He says, "If your dad was here, he'd drag you out as well." So I went out to play for Shells against Shamrock Rovers. I think it was under 21. It was like a friendly game. And from there, then I signed for Shells under 21s and first team, just training with the first team. So it kind of happened over a week span when I came back, but I wasn't really looking for anything at the time.
You just touched on something there, Conor, and I'm glad you did. For kids who are going over across the water and not making it and coming back, and you said it there yourself, you'd be disheartened and you kind of nearly fell out of love with football. What would you say to kids who are getting the opportunity and unfortunately not making it, just that whatever it might be for them at this moment, they just don't make it, come back, and you see there is a drop off in football for them?
Yeah,
would you have any advice for them?
Yeah, like it's that unwanted feeling and you're not good enough and stuff like that. And to be honest, we have it in the country at the moment with the League of Ireland set up. You're getting a knockoff between 15 and 17 or 17 and now 20s. And these kids are all good football players and a lot of good kids as well with attitude, good attitudes and stuff. But it's at the end of the season, they're getting told they're not good enough. And there's not a support system there for them now in Ireland, or there wasn't one back then either. So, to be honest, as I said, they've got to just stick with it. And they are good players. They just need to get their confidence back.
Yeah, fair play to you. Yeah, the League of Ireland set up where it goes 15, 17s, 19s. And you're right, because my own young fella is in that. He's not playing League of Ireland now, but he's a lot of his mates are where they were League of Ireland 16s. Now they're dropped out because there's no 17s. There's a knock-on effect then for kids that are in the DDSL Premier teams. The League of Ireland players are coming back. Them Premier players are getting dumped back out. And it just seems to be all over the place at the moment.
Yeah, as I said, they haven't quite worked it out yet, I don't think. You're looking at, like I said, the timing of the year or when they're coming back. And said after Christmas, teams are already full. A lot of the Premier teams are full and they can't take as a good quality of kid into the team either because their numbers are full. So they're getting told that they have to play lower level if they can find the place as well. So as I said, we're losing good kids at the moment through that as well. As I said, it has to be looked at. I don't know what way they're going to do that. So the DDSL might need to sit down with the FEI and say, listen, we'll have a kind of team that kind of balances or a day or two that teams can come out and look at players that are falling out of there, or like a trial day kind of thing.
Is there any particular reason, lads? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Why there isn't 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 League of Ireland? Why is there gap years?
I'm not too sure, to be honest. I'm looking at them. They're trying to phase it in. I think they're now changing it, isn't it, to 18s and 20s, I think it is. They're changing it. So, I don't know, maybe the powers of be have looked at it and said that they should be playing at that certain age group. They should be playing up the years if they're good enough. But I don't think so myself. I think you're right. I think there should be that. If they're going to do it properly, there has to be a balance of they have a link with even a DDSL club where they can play the team players across that aren't strong enough or aren't physical enough for the time being that they're looking for results now, aren't they?
Yeah, it's instant results. And then you're not even talking about players who are at the picking up knocks and injuries. You know, you might be out for a few months and they just have no football. Then when they're coming back, as you said, there's no team for them because the clubs are full. There's a knock-on effect. So you're actually losing quality players whose standards are probably better than Premier DDSL, and then they're just falling out because they've no clubs and just going, you know what? And it's that awkward age where the kids are starting to go out, you know, they're starting to pick up points, they're chasing the women, you know, there's different avenues for them on the table, and which path are they going to go down? And, you know, you're playing a Russian roulette with some of them kids. If they're not in football, they can go down the wrong path, unfortunately.
Yeah, and you're also looking, you're bringing players back from, as I said, League of Ireland clubs or the elite clubs or whatever it is that they're training full time, and they're constantly there. And then at the end of the season, they're told that, okay, there's no room for you to go forward, but you're going to sign for your local grassroots club, let's say, but who can't get a game till every third week because they know Astro because of the weather and stuff. Like, so they're going from one extreme to the other extreme as well without any support. Basically, in my eyes, I don't see it there.
Yeah, the infrastructure is massive. I never even thought of that. Yeah, when you're coming back, when you're going full-time football nearly to, like, we're training Tuesday, Thursday, and hopefully there's a match Sunday if the pitch is on.
Yeah, and that's it. The council allows it.
The council allows it. And then they might be training Tuesday, Thursday, but you might only have a quarter of a pitch because there's six teams on it.
Yeah. So that's the reality of, obviously we're talking about grassroots, but that's the reality of it, is where it's at.
Yeah. Anyway, you come back then, you went to Shells. That obviously worked out a dream because you come into as a legend of Ireland football then. How does it go from Shells then?
Yeah, to be honest, I was in training with the first team and playing for the 21s, and Pat Fenlon was the manager at the time, and he wanted me to go up north and sign up north on loan. I wasn't really into it because obviously I'd just come back from England as well. And I wasn't into moving, and well, not really moving, but travelling up to play football up north and stuff like that. So Pete Mann had heard I was back, and he obviously knew some of my family as well. So he was on the phone to see if I'd be interested in going out to UCD to him. So that's where I headed off to. And loved every minute out in UCD as well. It was a great club. It's a very well-run club, and the League of Ireland relies a lot on it as well.
Yeah, UCD.
Oh, yeah.
UCD are a great club in terms of the amount of players that come out there is unbelievable. I mean, they're the only kind of, you know, through the years, you know, when you're playing Connor, they would constantly produce good young players. And if it's just the likes of you going on loan, there's always players coming through, like, you know, the likes Georgie Kelly now, who's over in he's on in Carlisle at the moment, and Rodham, but he was UCD, Ferrugia was UCD. I mean, they're probably the standard in terms of the club throughout the years, going back to producing good young Irish players.
Yeah, like I said, you go back to, obviously, when I was there, Gary Dickers and stuff over in Brighton and stuff, like, they've always produced players for the league and for elsewhere as well. So it's a great place for anyone to play their football, learn their football as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Fair play. And then you were 4 years at UCD, is that right?
Yeah, 4 years at UCD, yeah. Time flies. I've been looking at it, just look back on it there, 17 years involved altogether. So it's a lot of commitment, a lot of time goes into it.
And then am I right in saying Drogheda come in for you then, is it?
Yeah, so Alan Matthews was up in Drogheda, and he was looking, what way would you look at it? He was putting that pressure to throw a team together to try and keep Drogheda in the league. I think it was, we had 4 weeks pre-season together to put a team in. So, it turned out a very good season because he stayed up and no one expected us to stay up as well that year. So it was great. And so I'll always remember that day at the end that we were, we stayed up in the promotion and at the relegation battle there at the end. And it was like we won the league. With them, the fans, the way they felt, as I said, of staying up, it meant so much to them.
Yeah, I was talking to someone about that. We got someone on the podcast about that day, trying to staying up. Sorry, maybe I wasn't. I was talking to someone personally, but yeah, saying it was good as winning the league title. It just meant so much to the fans, and everybody had roaches off that was never they were never going to stay up. And I think he's done it the last day of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so as I said, I think it was. Bray, I think we played in that game, I think it was. But yeah, we stayed up, and as I said, the whole town was out supporting, and it was great. It was one I'll always remember, to be fair.
Then
the big guns come in again. Pat's come in for you.
Yeah, so like Pete Mann took over at Pat's and they've been on to me and they were interested in obviously getting me in. I was happy at Drogheda. I really enjoyed it. I liked the group of lads, and to be fair, we had a great bunch that were fighting for each other, and I was agreeing to sign back until we were out training and I think it was the garden in Lucan there, the club, and Alan Matthews pulled me and said, listen, Connor, he says, it's not going well here, he says, I know you have offers, but I don't want you to turn the offers down, he says, because this it's going to go belly up, basically. I said, no, so I appreciate that. So P-Man was obviously on to me again, so I said I'd go meet him and speak to him, and so that's where I went to after that, and ended up signing for Pete.
Scott, again.
Yeah, no, I just, like, obviously, you could say arguably our best years were at Pat's and club captain and stuff, but I wanted to ask you, I think a really cool thing, I'd say a great honour, was the being picked for the League of Ireland 11. For that friendly, and I probably don't want to talk about the game itself, but the honour to just be picked for the League of Ireland 11, how did that come about? Pat Fenn was the manager as well, wasn't he, for that day?
Richardson, he was, I think it was a Cork at the time, or maybe he just finished up at Cork, but he took over it. I think 2010 was a good year for me personally as well, because I was in the team of the year, and obviously I won the player of the month and stuff like that, and we were defending well as a team, and that was one something that I loved to do, was defend. So I think it came through that we conceded very little goals that year, and they were on, and we're playing good football as well, so it just got picked through that end of it. If the result wasn't great, but for me it was great, because we played against Man United the first game in the Aviva, and I said, now I'm looking back on it, it's one of the best moments, because my son's into football, my daughter's into football now, and you go to the Aviva now with them, and they're like, oh, the first team to play here was the League of Ireland against Man United. So it's a great achievement, and to be a part of that was great.
Quality. We skipped ahead, Connor. I meant to ask you, didn't you get a couple of caps at the under-16s, Ireland?
Ireland, yes. I was involved with basically nearly every age underage for Ireland. And when I was with UCD, I think it was UCD, I was called into the 21s, the Irish 21s. But in camp, I got injured and I had to leave. So I didn't get 21s capped up. That always hurts. We've done the 23s. I got the 23 cap and stuff like that as well. So.
Fair play. Connor, or Scott, were you going to come in there with a belt on?
It's just in terms of obviously your time with Pats, and is there any like games that stick out maybe in Europe that you think like great result or in terms of a great performance that you had?
Yeah, that year with Pats obviously in Europe was brilliant, because we went through a few rounds that I don't think we were expected to go through a round. I think we were playing in Iceland and stuff like that. I mean, the Bosnian team back in Inchicore, we'll always remember that, because it was the last few minutes. We pushed everything forward and they got a flick on for Christy Fagan, who scored. And it just, I said, when you're looking at their team, they were worth like, each player was 5, 6, 7 million. I said, we weren't expected to even show up against them. So it was great then. We got through to play Hanover. Obviously in Germany, which were star-studded side again as well. So, that probably Hanover game then was probably the best, because we were losing going over there. And the first 10, 15 minutes, we gave it a right go. We hit the crossbar. We nearly scored. But as I said, that quality told in the end, and they went to an easy victory in the end. But it was a great occasion. Just the captain that in Europe as well was brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely massive. Because when you sit back do you ever sit back and reflect on it, Connor? Or is it?
Yeah, well, like as I said, you know yourself, you're a young lad now. So, like, he'd just be asking me questions, and he's on YouTube sometimes, and he ends up seeing a video or a result or something that went there. And he's like, Dad, did you play in that game? And then obviously you go down a loophole there, looking back on memories and stuff like that. So, now and again, but is it? them type of moments are great. Yeah, they said you've pictures and we've have pictures and jerseys up in the attic and that as well. So, just going through them when you end up in the attic looking for the Christmas decorations or something.
So you go up for the Christmas decorations, you're up there for 2.5 hours and that bottle is took down.
Yeah, then there's a search party. Yeah, which
yeah, that's allowed, absolutely. Then you go on to Rovers. How did you find that?
Yeah, like Trevor, we worked with Trevor with Pats and he was on to get me there. So it was obviously, I'm from Talla and Rovers have been up that area for obviously as long as I've been playing there. So it was one of those things that I've always been linked with them, even before when I was with UCD and that I've been linked with them. There was never really any interest to go at the times, but the way things were at Pats, I just thought that the time was right for me to leave then. I enjoyed the time up in Rovers. It was a tough time. I went straight in. I was captain, and as I said, there was a change of managers there as well. So it was a tough time. But they were out of Europe. We got them back into Europe and stuff like that. So it was enjoyable as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they're massive clubs, like you're going from, you know, Shells, UCD, Drogheda, Pats, Rovers. Like this is stuff kids a dream of. You know, so you were living the dream.
Yeah, no, listen, as I said, you're looking at it now and the marketing that's going on now is that the crowds that are at, it's brilliant. And the kids around my area, I'd say half of them fill up the stadium and Rovers and the other half are down on Pats on a Friday night. Like, so is it the marketing now that's gone into it is brilliant and they're starting to reap the rewards of it.
And rightly so, because if you go back to 3 years ago, the League of Ireland could have been started 2 weeks and some people didn't even know. There was no advertising, yeah, you just didn't know.
100%. That's what I'm saying is that, like, when I was playing as well, is like, you know, 1 week you go to a full crowd, obviously, depending on the game. The next week, then it's half a crowd, and no disrespect. Like, you're looking at the UCD, as I said, they're a great club. They're struggling to get fans in at the time. Detroit, like, speaking to the lads, they're trying everything. They were giving, they were sponsored by Budweiser, they were doing drinks, promotions, everything. Like, it just, as I said, it wasn't there at the time, but now there seems to be more of a buy-in.
Yeah, sure. Even if you look at the cup final there last year's massive, massive sellout. First time ever in the Aviva. It's brilliant to see.
Yeah, as I said, you look at the clubs now, the clubs are all got the community officers, and I think that's an important part for any of the clubs now, is that they're getting into the schools, they're getting into the local areas and working with them. As I said, the kids are buying into it and they're looking up to these players now, which is great.
Yeah, it's, and rightly so, because, and there's a lot of the clubs now affiliated with grassroots clubs, which has given them a pathway in. And I've never seen so many either Bowls, Rovers, Pats jerseys, kids wearing them around the place. It's brilliant, or wherever it might be. Like 5 years ago, you wouldn't see two Bowls jerseys on kids. Like, I have the under 13s now in Dunboyne, and they're all wearing League of Ireland, and most of them are wearing League of Ireland jerseys. It's brilliant to see.
Yeah, now it is. Obviously, there's a lot more now. And is it, I think it's more reasonable price-wise as well for them, for people as well. Whereas, I said, they didn't make a lot of the small-side jerseys for them when I was playing. Like, I remember I had a young lad and I was down, obviously, captain of Pats. And they didn't even have any kids' jerseys. I had to get one of the local lads that does the gear for us to make one up for me. As I said, they didn't have them then. Like, it's changed that much, like, which is great. Like,
oh, it's brilliant. It's massive. Scott, you want to jump in there?
No, like, I second that. Like, I've been going with my dad to the game since I was five, and we'd be going, and it'd be even in Dalymount only 400 people, and it's just great. Like, it kind of feels like a little bit of a life journey where the crowds are getting bigger and better, and it's just great to follow the league now, and the games. I think the big thing is getting the games on TV. I mean, there's a game on the TV now. We're recording this on Monday. Shells Rovers, a big game, and I'm sure there'll be loads of eyeballs on it. It's just, yeah, I absolutely love the league, and to see it grow, it just puts a smile on my face. And I'm sure, Connor, it's maybe slightly jealous you can get to play in front of like the regular big crowds back in the day.
Yeah, no, as I said, I'm delighted for the league. As I said, there's a lot of hard work that goes in behind the scenes, and they're reaping the rewards that end of it now. So hopefully now they can get the facilities to match it and they can push it on, because is it the start of the year that they're turning away kids' tickets? Like, It's crazy. They shouldn't have to do that. I said at the start of the year, I think every club had to turn away kids because of obviously the facilities weren't up to standard.
Yeah, some of them are like Daly Mount Scott. Sorry, they're probably only getting 400 in there because it wasn't safe for the rest of them. That place is falling probably down.
Yeah.
They need a big investment. Are they going to get a big investment? I mean, all clubs need a big investment. We need to really pump it into them, into the clubs. Some of the facilities is awful.
As I said, I've went to a couple of games there recently, and they haven't changed since I've been playing in them. That's going back obviously the 5-6 years, but plus as well, since I started, some of them hadn't changed.
Yeah, but they're slowly turning, hopefully. So slowly turning it around. Where'd you go from there then? From Rovers was a
Bray. Yeah, it was interesting time, as I say. It was brilliant. As I said, we were flying there. As I've done 2 seasons, we were flying there. Harry Kenny, we were pushing up the top end for Europe and stuff. And then obviously there was troubles with money and stuff like that started. So that kind of chipped away at all the good work that was going on before. But that was a great bunch of lads out there as well. And as I said, it was one of them places that you didn't know what to expect when you were signing. But now, really looking back, and I'd be out there, Bray, sometimes watching matches as well. So it was great. It was a great club.
Brilliant stuff. And then you had one season, was it, with Longford, was it?
Yeah. So before I signed for Bray, Dara Doyle, he's obviously with Trotter there now at the moment. Dara was on to me. He was the assistant at Longford, and he tried to get me to sign the year before. And I just, as I said, I wasn't ready to go down at that time. I was happy enough with Bray. And then the opportunity came again. He said, listen, before you retire, will you come down and get involved? So I was like, right, I'll go down and give it a year and see what it's like. So Dara would have been with me. When I first moved over to Coventry, Dara was there already. And he would have taken care of me over there and stuff like that. And all the young Irish lads coming over, he was great for us. So I had a relationship with Dara since then, and still do.
And then the whole thing goes full circle. You go back to Kildimanna.
Yeah. So, going back all the way. I'm living in Kildimanna. As I said, I was born there as well. So, as I said, I moved away, came back. So, all my family are from there as well. So, it was a no-brainer, really. Pat Innes, he's involved in the club there years. He was on to me, Connor, when you stop now, you have to come down to us. And I ended up taking, I said to him, right, I'll come down and do a director of football role for him and try to get a few things in places. So that was grand. And then once I retired from Longford, Keith Foy was the manager. And Keith was like, Connor, just come down and play for the last half of the season for me, will you? We need a bit of experience and stuff like so. I went in, I've been there since.
Hey, come here, Connor. How did you find the transition then from retiring? Was it tough?
I'm someone that likes to stay busy. So if you ask my wife, Fiona, am I retired? She tell you no, because I'm doing more now than I ever was. I still try and play sometimes as well with the seniors, just when needed, should we say. So, I don't think I'll ever retire that end of it.
You'll never retire.
That's it.
Would you go into a coaching role? Can you see yourself going into a coaching role, as in taking a team, maybe if it's grassroots or League of Ireland, whatever the case may be? Was that something that Tiddly fancy?
Yeah, it's always something I want to do. So, as I said to you, I'm involved in Kildimanna, so I'm managing the senior team there as well now. I went for the Longford job the previous time before I came up. I was very interested in it, but it just wasn't the right time for me. Okay. I still, as I said, I'm learning the game as well now, so it wasn't the right time. I said to myself, I'll go back and manage local, get the other side of it, because I said, we all, as a player, you think everything is your way, so it's to see the other side of it and deal with people the other side of it as well. So it's something that I want to get into. I want to get back into the League of Ireland as well, so I'll be looking out. for it.
Fair play, fair. And it's a very honest opinion of yourself to go, well, you know, it wasn't the right time. I need to go back. I need to learn the game. I need to learn the bits that I didn't see. And it's a different role, obviously. Like, it's obviously a different role playing and coaching, but it really can be testing to be a manager now or a coach and what's involved in that.
Yeah, like everyone thinks they can be a coach nowadays. And for me, manager and coach are two different roles as well. So it's finding out what I'm best at as well. So I'm happy enough now to know that I want to be a manager, and that's what I'll be looking into as well.
Scott, we're going to come in there.
No, I was actually going to ask you, Connor, in terms of League of Ireland, you say you still go to the games and all that. Do you have, are you allowed to answer the question? Do you have one club you go to see more than the other?
To be honest, obviously I'm centred in Tallaght, so in Kilimanagh, but it'd be sometimes a young lad wants to go up and watch Rovers, or they want to go down and watch Pats. So is it, I've been to both over the last while. I'll still continue to go to Bow. I'm trying to get to Wexford. As my nephew, he plays for always on loan to Wexford, so I'm trying to get down there as well and get a look at them. So it will be Pats and Rovers, to be honest.
Whenever you can get a break, yeah. Director of football at Kilimanagh, that's nearly every day of the week, is it, Connor?
Yeah, it is. Like, we've 42 teams to 45 with the seniors and stuff as well, so girls and boys. So it's constant. But I've got good help in the background as well from coaches, volunteers there as well.
Daddy Keith Boy is down there as well, isn't he?
Yeah, so Keith's down, he's doing the 13s. His young lad is down there and he has that team down there, so going very well.
My team played against his team there. Whoa. A couple of weeks ago, anyway, we drew Shamrock Rovers in the SFAI. So we were trying to get a test. So we went and played, actually killed them in it. It actually gave us a very good test. But we still got smashed by Rovers.
Yeah, different level.
Different level than 13s are. But met Keith and that and the boys, Neil and that, the good guys, good coaches down there you have.
Yeah, they're doing a good job. No, they've got a few lads now that are looking to get into that League of Ireland. A few clubs are sniffing around them as well. So it's just trying to get the balance and what's right for them as well. So and the rest of the group, and trying, as I say, keep them together as well. So if it doesn't work out for the lads, that they have a place to come back to as well.
Yeah, it has to be an open door, swinging both ways, doesn't it? You can go that way and come back this way, rather than like we were saying earlier on, go that way, it doesn't work, you want to fall off the ladder or not interested, and kids giving it up, you certainly don't want that. You certainly want a two-way door.
Yeah, like, unfortunately, as it, clubs aren't set up for that at the moment. Lucky enough, this year at Kilimanagh, we had a coach of our 16s who kept the group together. The three teams together. Kept the three teams together. So when we lost players to the League of Ireland and then players came back, we had room for them because the manager was willing to double up, do a Saturday and a Sunday, just for the kids themselves to play more football. And allowed us then to invite lads back into our group then to keep the stronger kids together then as well. Yeah, so, but a lot of clubs aren't set up for that. And I said we were lucky in a way that the manager was willing to do that.
Fair play to him, fair play to him. We're conscious of your time, Connor. I know you're getting the young lad from training there. But just a couple of quick fire questions at you before I let you go. Who would be the best manager you played under?
The best manager, the one that's had the most kind of effect on me would be Pete Mann. Obviously over the discipline end of it and stuff like that. So Pete Mann would be that end of it, yeah. Other than that, as I said, Liam Buckley's philosophy in football is brilliant as well.
Oh, deadly. Who would be the best player you played with?
Best player you played with.
You know, go on to me next.
Go on.
I was going to say, who's the best player you played against? Now, remind you, I was in that Ratto tournament.
To be honest, when I was at Coventry, Roland Neilton, I played beside for a few games in the reserves and stuff like that. And his influence on those little two or three games that we played in was outrageous. The amount of talking that he done and organising, and it's something that always stuck to me. And I think I brought it into my own game as well, is that how important it is to speak in the game. And now when you look at kids that do it, they don't do enough of it. And any kid that does do it now stands out. So is it he'd be one of the main players? Yeah.
Yeah, it was, as I said, we have the Tourdains and Dunboyne, and trying to get them to talk is, oh my God. They don't understand how important it is. And it's a hard thing to try coaching the players. The good players naturally do it or have it about them to do it.
They demand it and stuff like that. But as I said, I think it's a dying breed in the game as well. And I don't see a lot of it.
Yeah, magic. And my last question to you would be, what's the craziest dressing room you're in? For whatever reason, just mad, whatever, off the wall stuff, or lunatics, or whichever way you want to put it.
We'll probably go with the Bray dressing room. That would be up there. That dressing room and then the Pat's dressing room, to be fair, but I go with the Bray one. There's a few headbangers in that one.
Right, you can tell us a couple of stories off air about that one.
Yeah, they're not for
air. No, definitely not for air. Scott, you want to lead in, finish us off there? Have you any questions for Connor? We're conscious of his time.
Yeah, no, I just last question, obviously, big League of Ireland fan. Connor, is it Rovers to lose this year, do you think, again?
Yeah, to be honest, you look at that, they've got two teams that could challenge there. Budgets speak a lot in the League of Ireland, unfortunately. And I think they're the ones that, as I said, they don't normally get started this time of year either. So, as I said, it's theirs to lose. Shells, he's done a great job there, Duffer, but I just look at the quality that's and depth that's in that Rovers, and that's before you even go into the next window or go into Europe or anything like that. So, yeah, it'd be Rovers.
Yeah, I disappointingly agree with you. They're just their squad depth is just something else. I mean, they, as you said, they have two teams, and I think they kind of built towards that because last year Europe was a big disappointment for them, and I think that's kind of their next step, which is not saying they're overlooking the league, they're definitely not, but they definitely have the squad built there that they want to do well in Europe this year as well.
Yeah, and I think they need to do well as well for the club. I think they've got big budgets there as well, so Europe has a big say on that.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Sure, we know how shocking the prize money is just to win the league. It's all about Europe if you want to stay financially sound.
Yeah.
They're getting their players back fit as well, aren't they? So it's going to start coming good for them.
Yeah, as I said, they have two teams there that could easily challenge.
Magic stuff. Right, we'll leave you there, Connor. Thanks very much for coming on to the podcast. We really appreciate it. Best of luck in your managerial career. I'm sure we'll see you at some stage with a big team in the League of Ireland. So we wish you all the best, and we'll keep following you, mate.
No bother, lads. Cheers. Thanks very much, okay, for your time. Take
Cheers,
care.
Thanks, bud.
Cheers. Yeah.